Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I was thinking today, how am I going to approach this? Because we're going to do things a little different. If you notice the banner behind me, today is love. But I'm using a little bit modified version of the Advent candle to preach from today, and they call this the Day of Faith. Or the Shepherd's Candle. Okay? If you notice, I have this as the service of the word, the Shepherd's Candle, or the Candle of Bethlehem. So, one of the things, as we start looking at this today, I thought, alright, if we're going to talk about faith, alright, all of us have been parents in here. What if you had your kid come up to you and say, Daddy or Mommy, what does faith mean? Good question, yeah? How would you answer it? And this is not rhetorical. What would you say to your child? Belief? Okay, what else?
Faith is F-A-I-T-H, reflecting all, I trust him.
True. Any others? What would you explain faith to your child? How would you say it?
Would I pass it into heaven? There is no death anymore.
Okay, but explain how faith is in that meaning.
I have to believe that.
Okay, so yours belief.
Faith is a belief. Action, a function of belief.
Okay, David, go back and say yours again. Faith is a belief in something unseen. All right, so.
Doesn't mean it isn't a fact. It's just not
visible. Do we believe in the power of the Constitution? All right, I'm taking and getting into the secular world. Of course. Okay, what else would we believe in that's unseen?
The wind.
The wind? Okay, explain that one.
Well, do you see the wind?
No.
You feel it.
I feel it.
But you know it's there.
Oh, especially when it hit 250 miles an hour during the hurricane. That was a low blow. You know, so when we look at these things, there are many things that are a belief in things unseen, aren't there? When I start looking at faith, St. Paul tells us that faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we have on our own. Now, I've had people argue with me on this one. Well, what do you mean? It's, of course we can have it. Well, yeah, but how do we get it? There's the rub, as Shakespeare would say. Doesn't make it easy, does it? But faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit as a belief in things unseen. I'm going to turn this into law for a minute. We have laws on the books, right? And as obedient members of society, we try not to break the law, correct? How many of you have ever gone faster than the speed limit? Come on, let's all get our hands in the air, because we all do it. Oh, you lawbreakers! So you didn't have belief in things unseen, did you? Y'all going to go to hell because you can't follow the rules. That's like when you get into Minnesota or Wyoming and you see RMP, you know, speed limit, RMP means reasonable and proper for the conditions of the road. There's no speed limit. That's exactly right. And the condition of your auto. I beat a speeding ticket one time in Arizona because according to the law in Arizona, any state road you can travel up to 80 miles an hour as long as it is reasonable and proper for the conditions of your auto and the conditions of the road. And so when the police, the state trooper pulled me over that night, And I said, okay, would you look and see, are there any people coming? Well, no. Okay, I said, so would you check my car over? And he got a grin on his face. He said, yeah. He checked it over. Oh, your car is in great shape. So I said, would you say I was reasonable and proper for the conditions of the road in my automobile? He says, yeah, but I still got to give you the ticket. I said, okay. So I went in and fought it. And the judge says, I never allow an R&P defense. But he says, the officer said that you followed the law and I better listen to you. So he threw it out. You know, so the thing is, do I believe in things unseen? Yes. I also believe in pushing the laws a little bit. But the thing is, when you look at law, law doesn't have anything to do with faith, does it? Gospel has to do with faith. The words of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation and the resurrection are what is important. Now, in the second Sunday of Advent, we are looking at something that is different, the second coming of Jesus Christ. But our reading for the gospel today was about the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, if we're going to talk about the second coming, why do we talk about the birth? Now, here I'm going to talk to you a minute. Time for God. For us, there's the old times, the current time, and the future time. Correct? For God, time is. So the past, the current, and the future are all congruent for Him. Now think about that for a second. The past is just as current for God as the future is just as current for God. We don't think that way. You know, in the church, there is a form that we use all the time. And it comes from the ancient Greek, which is in the aorist, A-O-R-E-S-T form. That's an action that starts in the past, continues into the present, and goes on into the future. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. That's in the Bible a lot, right? To have that view of the future, what do you have to have? Faith. That's that belief in things that are unseen. Do we know what's going to happen in the future? No. But even if it gets bad, is it bad for our salvation? It really isn't, is it? I mean, a lot of you people in here have fought in wars. Vietnam, okay? I don't think we have any Korean vets. Remember when we had Paul? Paul was a tail gunner in a B-25 in World War II. By looking at the odds, he should not have been here with us, should he? Because almost 70% of those guys were killed. My Uncle Ray was a tail gunner in a B-25. But did they have a faith in the future? Yes. So Advent is not only a faith in the past, a faith in the present, but it's that faith in the future that we believe. Do me a favor, go to our epistle lesson, which is from Galatians. And I think many of you know that I love the book of Galatians and I love the book of Hebrews. Justified by faith. I want you to look at the very first sentence. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to do the other one here in a minute. We ourselves are Jews by birth. Okay, so he's talking to a Jewish audience, okay, right? Not necessarily. Why not? Because if we're Christian, Christianity is a Jewish sect. Pastor Don, you did this to me, I'm going to do it to you. Are Jews going to heaven? Chicken. You got
it.
Not today. Okay, that's good. But the thing is, of course they are. In fact, Book of Revelation says that the Jews have to come to Jesus in fulfillment of prophecy, right? And they use 144,000. Again, why do we use 144,000 in the Bible? Because that's the biggest number that the Jews had. They didn't have anything bigger than that. So if you're talking about 1 million men, you can't say it in Hebrew. The most you can say is 144,000. So when you see that bit, you know, 144,000, you know, are going to be saved. That's because that's the largest number we know. So we know the Jews have to come back to Jesus. Would God throw them out because they're God's chosen people? Of course not. No, God is not. But that's going to come in Revelation. That's what the Bible says. Okay? If they don't, then they won't be saved.
That's correct. They will not be saved.
But, George, that's what the Bible says in the book of Revelation.
It does not say all Jews.
Believing Jews. But they have to come to Jesus to be saved. Okay? I'm not disagreeing with you on that. Okay? Yes, we are. Okay. So, when we look at this situation, you have to have it set up so that the Jews will come back to Jesus. And that's what the Bible tells us. The thing is that I have many brothers right now that say, oh, they're going to hell. No, they're God's chosen people. They're not going to hell. But, as George pointed out, and he's right, is they have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and come to him. But when I look at this, take a look at the next part of this sentence. So we have also believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified in our endeavor to be justified in Christ. Boy, there's a mouthful, isn't it? All right, so let's look at this and tear it apart. So, we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith. What does justified mean again? Okay, you're right on it. Keep on going. Justification is the fancy word for the forgiveness of sins. So we're justified in the sight of God. Done. Ooh, I like that. I never heard that one before, but that makes sense. That means total forgiveness.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. You know, so when we see the word like justification in the Bible, and I know you folks read the Bible, if you don't know what it means, what is that verse telling you? Yeah, look it up. Who said that? I like the way you think, Gene. Oh, you got it. But in order to be justified by faith in Christ and our endeavor to be justified in Christ. Our endeavor. What does that mean? It means as we try to be good people and have a belief in Jesus Christ that he will forgive our sins. So here we are back to what? Faith. You with me? Oh, and then, we too were found to be sinners. Is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law. For through the law I died to the law. Does law save?
No.
The gospel saves. But do you need law?
Yes.
Why?
Keep things in order.
Good. What else? To lead us to where? The gospel of Jesus Christ in salvation. That's the purpose of the law. You know, Luther says there's three things. First of all, it's a mirror. You look in a mirror, I'm a sinner. Okay. Number two, it's a curb. You trip over it and know you did something badly. I'm going to go back to the catechism. And what's the third part? A guide to lead us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does any of this work without faith? No. So without faith, we'd be lost, wouldn't we? So what's the kingpin of everything we do here? Faith. The belief in things unseen. Do we believe? I think we do. As I've said to you all before, if you didn't believe, would your butts be in these chairs on Sunday mornings? No. But why are we here? To prepare for the second coming of our Lord and Savior. So, one of the things my grandfather always said, you know, when we do Luther's common table prayer, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. What are we asking for him to do? To come back. When you're blessing food and the first thing you say is, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. That's one of the most powerful theological statements you can make. And what do we do with it? We teach it to little kids. When we had our reunion, almost all of us cousins are in our 70s now. The oldest is 75. And every time we got together, we held hands and said, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Now, one of the things that I never finished that one up with, it's, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Second part to it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. What does that entail? Faith. So, my friends, may this concept of faith keep your hearts and mind on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen.